Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Okay, here we go, the Growing in Grace podcast. I'm Joel Brzezicki, and I've got Mike Kakula with me, as always, for the last 21-plus years, doing the Growing in Grace podcast and sharing the love of Jesus and hopefully sharing what a lot of people can relate to as well. And, you know, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Paul said that in Galatians 5, and the freedom that he was talking about, well, specifically for the Galatians, was freedom from the law and freedom from works righteousness. You know, freedom from feeling like you have to do something in order to be accepted by God and to be saved and justified and all that stuff. And so he goes on to say, stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And that burden, again, that yoke of slavery, that yoke of bondage, other versions say, is again, you know, attempting to live by the law and by works righteousness, you know, by trying to perform in order to be right with God. And so that's what we're doing here, trying to help people to be free from that. And, you know, we get comments from people, and sometimes comments really, really, really make me think. We got one of these comments recently, Mr. Kapler. We got one. And, you know, for the last few, several years, I've been sharing what I call a gig bite, a Growing in Grace bite. It's a little 30 to 60 second bite of each week's podcast. And I used to put them up as an MP3 on the website that a person could listen to. And then when YouTube started getting into shorts and then Facebook Reels and all that stuff, I just made it into a video. And I shared one of these. And somebody, it was like, I think the comment, I can't remember what the subject was, but it was about forgiving people. And, you know, does God require us to forgive others in order for us to be forgiven? And I shared the bite on that. And somebody responded with this deep, heartfelt comment that really made me change. Here's what he said. False. I mean, he put us in our place, Cap. He put us in our place.
And how can you argue with that?
How can you argue with that? I mean, everything, you know, we take the time to do a full podcast and to put it all together and do these little bites as well, and then it's all changed with that little word false.
Yeah. Well, and let me try to put some words in his mouth to further make his case. I think what he's saying there when he says false is that Jesus didn't shed any blood, right? I mean, do we? Because the program was based on, must we forgive in order for God to forgive us? And of course, our point was, the answer to that is no. We've talked about this so many times over the years, that Jesus was speaking to Jewish people under the law at that time, whereas Paul would later say that we do forgive others, but only because God has forgiven us. That's our motivation. That's our purpose. I mean, in other words, if it's required, again, and this isn't what our program is about today, but if it's required for us to forgive in order to be forgiven by God, then it's as if Jesus never spilled any blood, you know?
Right.
And so last week, we started sharing a letter that I think either one of us almost felt like we could have written ourselves. And it exemplifies, I think, probably a lot of what most of our audience has either gone through or is going through when it comes to empty religion, church activity, and traditional things that sometimes just leave people hungering and thirsting and tired and frustrated, compared to the unconditional love of Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel of grace, salvation by grace through faith and not by works, and actually coming into an understanding of that. So we shared most of the letter last week. If you didn't catch it, go back to growingingrace.org or one of our other podcasting platforms and catch up with us here, because we went through this great letter from Todd, and he's coming to the end of it now. And he says this, Joel, I find so much rest in listening to you both. He just recently found our podcast. Listening to you guys has been an amazing and overwhelming breath of fresh air for my soul. In the past 2 weeks since I started listening, I have felt more free and closer to the truth. My goal this, and you mentioned this last week, Joel, my goal this year is to put a pause on all of the quote-unquote good works I was doing and just rest in Jesus for a season. I have so many questions about verses. Oh, don't get me started on verses.
don't. Seriously.
Yeah. I get it. But I have so many questions about verses, but I seem to learn more and more with each edition of the podcast, where a lot of my questions are answered. I now experience sadness and regret for some of the harsh conversations and things I've said, even recently, to my family. And he mentions the denomination they belong to, and other believers, in an attempt to help them grow in their relationship with Jesus. And then he asks some questions here, Joel, and one of those is, how did you guys get over that regret? So let's try to address that question, because I think I mentioned in a fairly recent podcast that I wish I could go back and do it all over again, because I did the same thing. To people of all kinds of different denominations, including the one that he mentions here, because I have a lot of family that is a part of that, but and a lot of friends growing up who I just wanted them to know Jesus. But in my zeal, I just wish I could go back and do it different, because I didn't really understand the gospel of grace back then. I did know Jesus, and I wanted other people to know him. And so as I sit here, I'm trying to be transparent here, and I'm trying to form my words in real time, but how did I get over that regret? I don't know if I entirely got over it, because I just recently mentioned that I wish I could go back and do it over again.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I don't live with guilt. What's done is done. I'm a human being, as we all are, weak people who trust in the strength of God, and we're growing and learning, okay? And God knows that. He knows our ignorance. He understands it. He's not frustrated by it. And he just desires to lead us along into greener pastures. And so it doesn't do me or anybody else any good to, you know, put your hand to the plow and look back. Just look forward and learn from the things that we've done that we wish we could do over again, learn from our mistakes, and just allow God to, there should be no guilt, there should be no condemnation in Christ. And that's a growing process too sometimes, as we attempt to understand that as individuals who are in Christ. So there's no guilt or condemnation there. I mean, God certainly isn't, the Father isn't throwing any condemnation on the Son, and he's not throwing any of that on us either, because we're in him. So I would just encourage you to put that stuff behind you as best as possible. You may not be able to do it entirely, but you can escape that trap of falling into guilt and condemnation. No Christian should ever have to be dealing with that. And we just move on, right, Joel? I mean, we just learn and we grow, and, you know, we can make improvements. But it has nothing to do with trying to get in God's good graces or position ourselves better with him to make ourselves more acceptable. We're already accepted.
Right. I've been through so much of that too. And in the past, I've definitely had that regret and that guilt. And I don't live in that anymore, that, like you were saying, the guilt. But and that's because exactly what you're talking about. I mean, yes, sometimes I go over those things in my mind, you know, the things that I've said and did as a legalist, some of the harsh things I said to people. I know I had some legalistic friends who were a lot harsher than me, and, you know, some of the things that they said that were and did that were hurtful for people, to other people. But I know that I've done things in legalism and said things that have been harmful and hurtful to people. And so, like you say, as you live and you grow in life in general, that happens. There are so many things, even from a non-Christian perspective, from a non-church perspective, you know, I did all kinds of things that I, quote, regretted. But you understand that you were acting either immaturely or ignorantly when you did those things or said those things, and now you've grown. And then one thing that it's helped me to do is to have more, compassion, maybe some more forgiveness toward others who I see doing that, when I see others acting immaturely and ignorantly toward other people. And Cap, you and I were even talking about this. We see grace people doing this to other people, kind of being harsh and acting kind of immaturely and condescendingly toward other people who don't see things the same way that they do. So, and I used to do that too as a grace person, being that way toward other grace people who didn't see things the same way I do, or toward legalists. And so I don't want to be that way. And so I've grown. And I think that's just part of life. That just happens in life. And so you sure can wallow around in that stuff, but it doesn't help. It doesn't help anybody. And so just thank God that you've grown and that you're in a place now where you see things differently. And maybe you're still in that place where you're harsh toward other people, but you don't want to do that. You don't want to respond to people that way. So just use this as an opportunity to look at your life and to realize what does bear fruit and what doesn't bear fruit in our reactions with other people. Before we move on with that, I just wanted to, earlier on in this email, he says that his wife and him work full time and they're often exhausted by the end of the week. So he had been talking about never feeling rest while going to church. He's been told as an introvert that the problem's always with him and not with the church. And then he says they work full time, they feel exhausted by the end of the week, and you throw in some beautiful kids in the mix. It makes Sunday mornings a very heavy burden for us. Man, I can relate to that. He says, I hope that makes sense. I think where I relate to that is I came to find out that church, the body of Christ, being in Christ, is not about a day of the week. It's not about being boxed together with other believers, staring at some preacher every week, listening to his take on things or her take on things. It's not about that any more than it's about this podcast, being obligated, anyone being obligated to listen to what we say. The preacher, the person preaching every Sunday, that's a concoction of man. It's not found anywhere in the Bible. And, somebody telling you every week what you have to do, that's not something that was ever meant to be part of life in Christ. It can be good for people to get together, encourage one another, spur one another on toward love and good deeds, like the writer of Hebrews said, that can be a good thing to do. But being obligated to, quote, go to church, being obligated to take part in Christian ministry, church ministry, that's never what it's meant to be about. If you find that you fit in a certain way of ministering, of helping other people, that's great, that's wonderful, if it has to do with a church setting. But, many of us work full-time, we have a life, a busy life, and then we go and we're exhausted, we're tired, and then we go to church and they're telling us all these other things that we have to do. It can be exhausting, and it's like he says earlier in this email, it leaves people exhausted, agitated, unloving, and ultimately frustrated. Boy, can I relate to a lot of that, and I know that a lot of people listening can too. And so I just want to, we just want to encourage people that, you don't ever have to do anything for Christ, and it's good to just rest. It might be good for some people to just cease from the things that you feel obligated to do. Just stop it. It might not be as easy as what I'm saying, but just find a way to get yourself out of some things, maybe some obligations, and then just find out by the Holy Spirit what it is that he created you to do. What part do you really have within the body of Christ as opposed to what the church tells you that you have to do? So with that, we can maybe get on with some more of this email.
Well, I think you just answered his next two questions, or at least partially. Do either of you go to a church service on Sundays, and how do you suggest leading one's family in the Lord without attending a building on Sundays regularly? And I would just say that we have attended church buildings, not so much lately. Right. That's true for both of us. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I don't want to discourage anybody from attending a church building. There are benefits to it. There are pros. There's always going to be pros and cons. But it may depend on, you know, just you personally and what you want to do, what you're ready for, what you feel like.
Right.
We're not here to tell you to do one or the other. We're not suggesting that. There's times where I kind of miss getting together with some of the friends and the people that I made at the church building. And frankly, the last one I've attended for many years, it really wasn't all that stiff compared to some places. It wasn't all that formal. It was one of those places you could kind of walk in and dress the way you wanted to and feel like you could be yourself. And so it really just depends. I mean, some people live in areas where there may be churches with a greater grace message. So we can't really advise you on what you should do with that. And if you have children that are still in the home, I understand that there may be some motivation there to go to the church building so that your kids can be exposed to a culture of believing in God. That can make sense. It's also something I think that others can do without going to the church building and create that culture of God's grace and love within the home. And I'll let you wrap that one up, Joel.
Yeah, and it's basically it's going to be different for everybody because there can be extremes. I know some people personally that their kids, they have several kids, and most of them have chosen to not associate with their parents anymore because of the church, because of the way that they were raised. They were very...
So it kind of backfired,
so,
is what
yes,
you're saying.
They were very legalistic, very protective, and I could go on about that. I won't go on about it, but that's one extreme. It did backfire. The way that they thought it would happen for their kids, it backfired. For other people, I think it can, and indeed, it's going to be different for everybody. I know that with my kids, there were some really good things about it. They went to, you know, children's church, children's ministry, youth group. There were some really good things about that, and there were some things that I wanted to, I had some choice words that I wanted to share with the youth leaders, but I didn't, and sometimes I regret that I didn't, but just some of the legalism that they put on them, even in a kind of a grace, more of a grace-based church. But so all that to say, it's definitely going to be different for everybody. You have to gauge where you're at. You have to gauge what the church is about, you know, that kind of thing. He does say, what are y'all's thoughts on rewards in heaven and being motivated to do good works by those? You know, you can look in, you know, again, at Bible verses, you know, getting back to that verses thing and see things about rewards. The thing that motivates me is not rewards in heaven. Like to do the things that I do, whether it's this podcast, whether it's helping somebody else, you know, just some recent things that I've done. I just have those things on my mind, things that I've done that have been helpful to people. I didn't do it, and I don't do it because I feel like I'm going to get some reward in heaven. If there is such a thing, something like that, great. But I do it, you know, I think that we do what we do because we love people. I think love is really what it's all about. That's what this life in Christ is about. It's not about going to a church building every week. If you want to, that's great. It's not about being forced or obligated to do anything, to give, to do works, to do ministry, any of that stuff. But if you love people, then you will find that the things that you do are based upon that. You're not looking for a reward. You're not looking to get something out of it. You're not looking for, what can I get out of this? Can I get a reward in heaven? Again, that stuff is all great if that's what's going to happen, but in the end, it's about loving people, you know, building one another up, encouraging each other, edifying one another. That's really what life in Christ is about. And that may work well in a church setting for some people, and the church setting may be totally not what it's supposed to be about. Each person has to decide for themselves. Any parting thoughts from you?
Yeah. I think you hit on it. I'll just try to elaborate a little bit. The motivation is love. And there are so many people who are Christians, you know, they're children of God. They're saved. They have eternal life. but they haven't, and this was me, they haven't really understood the love of God. Not that I've cornered the market on it now, right. But that's what began to change for me over 30 years ago when I went from just plain Christianity to the love of God and the grace of the gospel. That changed very quickly for me once I began to understand that there was nothing that I could do to make God love me more. There was nothing I could do to make him love me less. It blew my mind. Just that whole concept. I mean, are you kidding me? What I've been working at here for the past 22 years was kind of all for nothing. And so I'm with you. You know what our reward is? It's God.
Yeah.
And being in relationship with him and having eternal life, having experienced now an eternal redemption that Jesus paved the way for us to experience. And so that's the motivation. It's love. And you're not going to miss out on rewards for not doing good works. Now, some will disagree with me on that, and that's fine. I don't want to hash that out.
Right.
But you're going to miss the bigger point if the motivation is gaining rewards, then it's really not based on love that you're doing the works through, and you're kind of missing the whole thing. You know, it's kind of like going to work. You know, we work jobs. And I'm rewarded with money so that we can eat and buy things. And would I be doing that if I wasn't getting paid? No. There might be some other stuff I'd do for free. You know, Joel, my wife recently mentioned that there's an organization nearby who recruits volunteers to go help shovel snow, for example. And I would imagine maybe even mow lawns for elderly people and those who can't do it themselves. Now, if I were a younger guy, I could get into that. I could get into that because, you know, you want to help people. It's in your heart to do it. And that's the point, is that as a new creation in Christ and a partaker of the divine nature, as a child of God who has received an inheritance and these attributes from God dwell within us, that's our motivation. I mean, that's who we are. That's how we're identified. And we're not working to become something that we're not. And so I would just encourage anybody out there listening right now that your motivation to do good is based on God's love for you. Because as John said in his epistle, his first epistle, he said, it's not so much that we have loved God. Well, that's the opposite of the law. The whole point of the law was love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's not that we really love God. It's that he loved us. And once we begin to understand and grow in that, it can change everything.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke. Heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.